This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Tiny bubbles and wine make me happy, make me feel fine. Tiny bubbles make me warm. Here's to the silver sea, and mostly here's a toast to you and me. Tiny bubbles,
tiny bubbles,
in the wine,
in the wine,
make me happy,
make me happy,
make me feel fine.
Makes me feel fine listening to Don Ho. You remember him? Tiny Bubbles. Little Hawaiian vacation thoughts in that song. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my partner, Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us. It is Wednesday, August the 23rd, and there is a lot going on. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with James Bacon of the Heritage Foundation, and we're going to talk to him about dismantling the deep state through a conservative movement called Project 2025. So stay tuned for that. And Republicans will be holding their first presidential debate tonight in Milwaukee, but one of the qualifiers besides Donald Trump may not be there. He may be missing. We're going to tell you who it is, so stay tuned for that as well. And Joe Biden and his extended family gather for 9 days at a Lake Tahoe mansion following the president's trip to Hawaii to survey the damage. Question, will they be discussing how to deal with the growing possibility of bribery charges against President Biden? We're going to talk about that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, I think we've got a good one for you. The top 10 most expensive U.S. housing markets right now. Yeah, so stay tuned for that as well. By the way, Freedom Works is sponsored by Andrew's Master Barber Shop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Best place for a haircut for men that I've ever found in Tampa Bay. Call first for your appointment, 727-733-3773. Great haircut, great price. And Arbor Life Tree Service, whether it's tree enhancement, stump grinding, tree removal, planting trees, whatever it is, Arbor Life is Tampa Bay's premier tree service. Call them for a free estimate today, 727-330-1999. So, we know Donald Trump is not scheduled to be at the debate tonight among the Republicans that are vying for the presidency, but North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum was hospitalized yesterday in Milwaukee. He suffered an injury while playing a game of pickup basketball with his staff. What a time to get hurt. I mean, who knows this guy? He needs the exposure. His attendance is now in question, according to his campaign. He's a dark horse to begin with. He lacks name recognition that most of the others enjoy. He qualified by earning 3% support in a Fox News poll. Otherwise, he's remained relatively obscure. So it was a chance for him to grab more attention. He really needed the publicity on this one. He's a billionaire software entrepreneur, and he has, listen to this, he's poured more than $10 million of his own money, apparently, or a good deal of that $10 million was his own, into the race. Yeah, it's all of it, from his own bank account. So maybe he'll make it. Even if I had to get in a wheelchair.
I'm telling you.
I'd be there, you know.
$10 million to tell my doctors to tape it up and get me back in the game.
You got it, man. I think he's going to make it. You think that maybe it's...
Get the sympathy vote.
Well, I'm just, I'm going to be a little Machiavellian here. Do you think that maybe this is just an intentional publicity stunt?
Mm-hmm.
Give him a little bit more attention if he does. Will he or won't he? You know, maybe they'll be talking more about him. I don't think so.
It's pretty hard to fake
it's pretty
getting
hard
hospitalized.
To fake it. Yeah, mm-hmm. If he got caught doing that. So we got eight. Let's include him for the sake of argument. There's eight people that are going to show up. Governor Ron DeSantis takes the first spot. Excuse me. And in the second spot is Vivek Ramaswamy. He garnered the second most popularity or whatever the criteria was. Then I think it's Vice President Mike Pence. Former UN Ambassador Nikki Haley will be there. Our buddy, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie will be there.
He gets two spots.
He's going to need two spots. And this guy kind of surprised me, but he made it. Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson.
Hmm.
Now, Hutchinson and Christie will probably be slapping Trump around a little bit. Trump will, of course, not be there. But those two guys have it out for Donald Trump, especially...
I think I'll
Chris Christie.
I'm going to pull out the meter, the Trump meter tonight. See how many times Chris Christie says Donald Trump.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
I'll pull that out.
You know, there should be odds on how long after he is introduced that Chris Christie says the name Donald. How many words will it be before the name Donald Trump crosses his lips?
I don't care what the subject is. The first words out of his mouth will involve... The first sentence will involve Donald Trump.
Yeah. I don't think I'd bet against that one. I think there's a good chance he will. Certainly by the third sentence, he will. To make the stage, candidates had to reach 1% in three national polls, or 1% in two national polls and two state-specific polls from the early voting states, and the early voting states are Iowa, South Carolina, New Hampshire, and Nevada. So that's the deal. I think when they do the next debate, which is, by the way, out in Simi Valley, California, I think they're going to raise the standards a little bit by then. It'll be interesting to see who will show up for that one. The candidates were also required to sign a pledge saying they agree to support whoever the Republican nominee ends up being. I think a lot of them would sign the pledge. I mean, come on. You think Chris Christie's going to be supporting Donald Trump?
No.
He just signed the pledge to get on the stage.
No.
They agree not to participate in any non-Republican sanctioned debate, RNC sanctioned debate, during the cycle, and agreed to data share with the National Party Committee, whatever that means. So there you go. In the meantime, I guess Donald Trump will be on some network somewhere. I think it's a taped interview.
Tucker Carlson?
Yeah, Tucker Carlson and he. Tucker Carlson has become a mentor for Donald Trump to some extent, I think. Anyway, they're gonna have that somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many people will be watching that.
Well, you remember how close Donald Trump and Rush Limbaugh were?
Oh, very much.
Yeah. So I think that,
he gave Rush Limbaugh towards the end of his life the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Very emotional moment. Okay, we're gonna take our break. And when we come back, James Bacon of the Heritage Foundation will join us. We're gonna talk about dismantling the deep state.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back, and it is a Wednesday. Delighted to have James Bacon join us. He is a senior advisor to the Heritage Foundation's Presidential Transition Project. He has a piece in the Washington Examiner a few days ago, dislodging the real threat to democracy, the administrative state. James, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, our pleasure. And you're talking about something near and dear to my heart, and that is how bureaucrats within the administration, within the federal government, are really the ones that are controlling power by the things that they are allowed to get away with. Tell us a little bit about this Project 2025, if you would.
Absolutely. Well, it'll be interesting tonight to see what the candidates talk about. I always think that it doesn't matter what policies they say they're going to implement if they don't have a plan to actually fight the deep state and take control of the executive branch. If they don't do that, they won't be able to get any of the policies they're talking about done tonight. And Project 2025 is a project that is candidate neutral. It's for a conservative president to restore the president's authority over the executive branch. And there's a number of ways we're going to do that, but the first is to eliminate the sprawling expert class that really controls the true levers of government power. So that's the first step. And the second step is getting political appointees into these key choke points in the bureaucracy that actually control the executive branch.
That is quite a task, but well worth the effort. Because for so long, not just in the executive branch, I think it's all over the place, but especially in the executive branch, when you have a new president come in and he's got all of his people and they wander in, but yet you've got all of these people that have been there for years that are really controlling all of the levers and, quite frankly, can have opposing political viewpoints. And they know all the tricks, don't they? They know how to finagle them, what they want done, right?
Exactly. That's the biggest issue, is that they've created this web of rules about how the executive branch is to function, and it's become so complicated over the years that only they know how to navigate it. So a president and his team has a tough time calling these bureaucrats when they might be lying about a policy, when they might be saying something's illegal even though it's not, when they might be saying Congress intended something else for a policy. It takes so much to know this complex web of regulations that these bureaucrats have an easy time just running circles around the president's men.
So, James, of all the candidates, and we've got eight of them that'll be on the, I guess, the dais tonight in Milwaukee. Of all the Republican candidates running for president, is there any in particular that you think would be particularly interested in implementing Project 2025?
Well, the ones that have talked about it the most have been President Trump, Governor DeSantis, and Vivek Ramaswamy. They have made it a campaign priority, and they've been talking about it on the stump. But what it really is going to come down to is who they name to run their transition team, who they put in charge of government reform if they get in. This can't be abandoned once they win, whoever it is, because this is the number one issue. If you don't solve this issue of bureaucratic control, then none of the other policies matter, because the government will just continue running on autopilot just like it's running now.
Now, when Donald Trump was president, he had a chance to start dismantling some of this bureaucracy. Was he in any way successful in doing a little bit of that work? I mean, it doesn't seem like when he left there was much of a change.
He started really focusing on this in the last year, and it was too late, but it was at least a start. And the biggest thing that he did was he exposed this and shined a light on it. So now you have all these bureaucrats undermining Trump, and Trump called it out. While he wasn't able to actually uproot the deep state, exposing it is the first step. And so now we have a focused policy effort, a focused think tank effort that's dedicated to just using all the levers of power that a president has to uproot this deep state.
Right.
So that was President Trump's contribution.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with James Bacon. He is a senior advisor to Heritage Foundation's Presidential Transition Project, and we're talking about Project 2025, a way of dismantling the deep state, especially in the executive branch. One of the things you say, and again, you have an article that came out, I think, on the 18th of August in the Washington Examiner called Dislodging the Real Threat to Democracy, the Administrative State, and you make the point that one of the things that a Republican conservative president might need to affect this transition is a highly competent group of political appointees. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So typically, these administrations, when a Republican president gets in, they're staffed by the same Washington, D.C. Republicans that have staffed every Republican administration. And these people have gotten used to going along to get along with the bureaucracy. They'll tinker on the margins of policy, and they'll call that conservatism, where instead of actually trying to really change the fundamental mission of these agencies, really trying to implement conservative policy. So there's this entire class of Republican political appointees that are supposed to manage this bureaucracy, but have really been captured by the bureaucracy. One of the things Project 2025 is doing is trying to recruit people from outside of Washington, D.C., who are coming at this from a more ideologically motivated perspective. They're not just trying to get the job in Washington and then exit and go to the lobbying firm to make money off of it. They're actually going in because they want to implement conservative policy. So we have to look to outside of D.C. to get some of those people. And we have to look to people that are really strong in their beliefs, because one of the problems in the Trump administration was the media came at the President Trump's appointees so hard. We were in a pressure cooker, and a lot of people didn't have the constitution to take that. So that's why you saw a lot of appointees turning on President Trump, running to the liberal media, and it's going to take strong-willed appointees next time.
Now, normally, do we hear about these appointees that you're talking about? Are these people that are taking certain positions in the White House? How does that work?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So it's everybody from the Secretary of State at the highest level. You know, those are the cabinet secretaries, Secretary of Defense, Secretary of State. But then it goes all the way down to something called Schedule C appointees, who are deep in the bowels of the bureaucracy. You know, it could be a special assistant in the office of the Undersecretary for Policy in the Department of Defense. It goes layers, levels and levels deep into the bureaucracy. And you have to get those ones right, because even if you get the cabinet secretaries right, if the cabinet secretary is telling the bureaucrats below him what to do, they have a million ways to slow walk it, stonewall it, basically kill the policy in the bureaucracy. So you need people all the way down.
Yeah. Will this topic come up during the debate, do you think? As an example, will DeSantis or Ramaswamy possibly bring it up and want to talk about it?
I think they will. I've seen them bring it up in several contexts, and I think Vivek Ramaswamy especially has brought it up. He started his campaign by talking about doing an executive order to get rid of these civil service protections, which are what's preventing the president from firing the career civil servants, of which there are 2 million. So I do expect it to be brought up. I hope it's brought up, because it's something that's not talked about enough. We can talk about the policy, you know, education policy. We can talk about military policy till the cows come home. But if you don't have a plan to get the right people in place to implement that policy, then we're not talking about anything.
We're talking with James Bacon of the Heritage Foundation about the deep state threat to our democracy, especially in the executive department. And hopefully the topic will be brought up on stage. And I lost my train of thought. I had a good question for you about whether or not somebody like Ron DeSantis, somebody from the outside, oh, I know what it is. The people, I think, are more and more aware of corruption within the executive branch, especially in the Justice Department and the FBI, with what's going on with the cover-ups, both against President Trump and for President Biden. So do you think, James, that people, the public, is in a more in a mood to agree that these kinds of changes need to occur?
Yes, there's finally a mandate to overhaul these government agencies. We've been trapped in a cycle for the last 100 years, really since FDR built this modern deep state. All the Republican presidents have not been able to overhaul it, to reform it in the way that's necessary. We finally have a mandate for that, because they've overreached and they've exposed themselves. So the next president is going to have this golden opportunity to finally eradicate this deep state that's holding the executive branch hostage. It's a golden opportunity, and they're going to have to be willing to put time into this. I tell people the president needs to delegate less and follow up more. It's going to take very aggressive management to overhaul these agencies, because they're so set in their ways. The president himself is going to have to do in-person visits to the Department of Justice. The attorney general is going to have to do in-person visits to the FBI to go over the cases, to meet the bureaucrats face-to-face. They hate being confronted. They hate being confronted. They rely on non-confrontation. And when you confront them, you can pretty easily get them to stop doing what they're doing.
I remember DeSantis saying one of the first things he was going to do is get rid of a couple of people like he brings in his own, but in the FBI, he's going to fire Christopher Wray. Obviously, Merrick Garland's going to go because he's going to bring in his own attorney general. But he's going to, it sounds like he's already making plans if he indeed becomes the president.
Certainly. And he's going to have to go deeper than that, too, because it's not enough to get your own FBI director in there. It's not enough to get your own attorney general in there. You have to make sure these are guys with a strong constitution who are willing to shake things up at the FBI. Because when a new FBI director gets in there, the bureaucrats are going to come to him and say, you know, this is how things work, and you can change this, this, and this, but you can't change this. And it's going to have to be somebody with the knowledge and confidence of how the system works to be able to stand up to these bureaucrats.
Well, I really appreciate you coming on and talking about this, James. I'm going to keep my ears perked tonight to hear maybe the term Project 2025 will pop up, and I hope it will. Thank you so very much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. James Bacon, Heritage Foundation. Okay, we're going to take our break, and when we come back, Joe Biden and the gang, his extended family, they're spending 9 days at a Lake Tahoe mansion. Will they be talking amongst themselves? They got Hunter there. Are they going to talk about how to deal with the growing possibility of a bribery charge against Joe Biden? My Peggy Sue.
Oh, well, I love you, Kelly. So love you, Peggy Sue. This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop. If you own a home, I bet you're flooded with tree service mailers. So who do you call? ArborLife Tree Service is my choice. When I needed a bunch of trees taken down, they did it safely and at a great price. But ArborLife not only removes trees, they plant trees, they trim them, they prune, they spray, and they fertilize as well. They're ISA certified, they're veteran owned. I'm telling you, you can't go wrong. Call them for a free estimate. 727-330-1999. That's 727-330-1999. ArborLife Tree Service. They really will go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Freedom Works, thank you so very much for being here with us on a Wednesday. Well, there is another possible Republican presidential candidate. We don't know if he will become one, but Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin, and he is dodging questions. And that's the first sign that he's thinking about. He's dodging questions about whether or not he would rule out running for president. There's all kinds of rumors that he is being encouraged to do so. When he was asked about having been encouraged, he said he appreciated the recognition of the Virginia conservative accomplishments, but he has a job to do as the governor. He would not respond to follow-up questions, so that's the first sign that he's seriously thinking about it. Maybe he wants to hold his fire until he sees what's going on with Donald Trump a little bit more. Mm. But that would be kind of interesting. By the way, we have our buddy, the master barber, Andrew Ceresi, with us. And Andrew, are you going to have your little channel changer in your hand going back and forth?
Well, Paul, you know what I'm waiting to see happen?
What?
I'll tell you what I'm waiting to see. Now, you know, Donald Trump is pre-recorded on Twitter. This isn't live what he's doing tonight.
Right. That's an interview with Tucker Carlson.
Right, right. That's pre-recorded. I got an inkling. Now, you know how that debate starts at 9 o'clock?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm wondering if Donald Trump at 9 o'clock is going to surrender himself to the Fulton County Jail.
Really?
Because, you know, if he does that, what's going to happen? Every television station in the country is going to put that on.
Why would he want to have that? Why would he want to surrender himself? I mean, you'd think he'd want to avoid that kind of publicity.
No, why would you avoid it? Every time he gets indicted, his points go up. Okay?
Yeah.
So by that, he just canceled out the Republican debate on Fox News.
You know what I thought you were going to say is that he was going to show up at the debate at the last minute.
No.
Okay.
But you know the attention he would get?
Oh my God.
Everybody would switch their channel.
Yeah, except for Fox News, which would be cursing him for
knocking down their ratings. They'd have to put it in the corner.
Well, it would give CNN an excuse not to show the debate. Are they showing the debate?
No, they're not.
Oh, they're not?
No. This is an exclusive Fox News debate.
They would give them something to show then.
Oh, yeah. MSNBC, CNN, the whole group. They would be there. They'd have 150 reporters over at the jail. Courthouse.
Andrew, I'm going to pull out the Trump meter tonight, and we're going to see how many times Chris Christie says Trump. I mean, they could be.
Every time he mentions the name Trump, he gets a free donut at Dunkin' Donuts.
Well, he's going to mention it about 42 times.
Yeah, I think if the subject first starts out with how was everybody's dinner tonight, Chris Christie's answer is going to be something along the lines, it would be a lot better if Donald Trump wasn't in office 4 years ago.
Yeah. He's going to figure out a way to get Donald Trump's name in there no matter what.
All of them will do something.
So what they're doing, Andrew, and it starts at 9 o'clock, they're going to have Ron DeSantis in the number one, in the poll position. He'll be right in the center.
That's right.
And on one side of him, Rob Aswani will be, and I think the other one, if I'm not mistaken, is Pence.
Yes.
Well, I can tell you this. When it comes to a debate, if they start going after him, which they're going to, people are going to want his spot. So if Trump's not there, they're all going to go after Ron. So you got to see how he handles himself on this one.
Yeah. Although, don't you think that the others don't want to put too much attention on DeSantis? You know what I mean? They don't want to shine a spotlight on DeSantis and make it look like they think that DeSantis is ahead of them. You know what I mean? They might not do that so much.
You know, listen, they've got plenty to talk about tonight other than each other.
Yeah.
I mean, for what's going on, I don't know about you guys, but this whole Maui thing is just disgusting. And it gets even worse than last night. They're reporting that the FEMA people from FEMA are staying at a 5-star resort.
More than one 5-star resort. They're staying at several.
Yeah, at a 5-star resort.
You know how much some of those rates are per night?
$1,300.
Some are over $2,000.
I mean, Lola can pay that.
Absolutely.
And that's where she stays.
Yeah,
but I mean, $1,300 a night. For FEMA? Well, supposedly they're getting a corporate government rate.
I saw that same story. It really upset me. What do you think about that, Andrew? FEMA people.
What I think about that, both you guys disagree with me. I told you that was a setup, and I still believe it.
Well,
now what about the COVID mask coming back, buddy? That was their latest topic last night and everything.
That's kind of a fear mongering topic, I think.
I heard CNN had the guy on from was it Pfizer talking about the possible new strain coming up.
Yeah, Pfizer.
But we're working on the antidote for that.
I think I just got over their last strain. Okay.
Yeah.
I just got over because I still say when they told me they only saw 11 cases of what I had in that hospital this year, and they don't know what it is, okay, except that it wasn't cancer. That tells me something.
Are you talking about your latest bout with your throat?
Yep.
You think that it might have had something to do with COVID?
Well, how come they couldn't tell me what it was? I mean, you know, all the tests they give you, they always could tell you what it is, this or that or something.
Well, Andrew.
But all they could say is it wasn't cancer. They really don't know what it was, but they've seen 11 cases of it in the hospital.
Right? The same thing that you had?
Right.
No kidding.
Okay, so, wow. I mean, you know, what else can you think?
Yeah, how are you feeling?
Believe it or not, I'm feeling really good. I'm back to work, and I feel great about it.
Outstanding. You sound good. You sound energetic.
It was hell. I've never been through anything like that in my life.
Oh, scary.
And they can't tell you something. But anyway, you know, you guys laugh when I tell you, look at how the people in Maui are talking, how realtors and investors are coming up to these people already. and they're driving them nuts. And they're not giving them nothing. They're not. He gave them $700 a piece. Where are you going with that?
Yeah, no, I think FEMA's response and the way FEMA's handling it and the way Biden is handling it is horrible. But you know, you can't control the wind blowing the fire around. That's a
no. I'm not saying it could have been the perfect storm, buddy. They could have been waiting for something like this to happen. Right, you don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
You don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I said I can say one thing, and you guys are going to say another.
I would be so embarrassed. Yeah, I'd be so embarrassed if I was a FEMA employee and I was staying at a 5-star hotel or motel when all of these people that they haven't even found yet. By the time we're through, we might be close to 950 people.
And they're talking about a lot of kids are missing.
Oh, it's terrible.
They're missing, and they're saying that they could have been burnt to ashes.
Oh, it's terrible. Just,
I mean, it's disgusting. And the way they're handling it all. But yet, we can give $140 billion to the Ukraine, my friend.
And then at the memorial thing there, Biden falls asleep.
Oh, what an idiot.
Man, how bad does he look?
He looked like he was going to die. He looked so old.
Not only
old.
That. Look at him.
He looked totally old in that last
They've got an earpiece for him to correct him on things, you'd think they'd equip him like a little shock collar. So when he nods off, just a little shock collar to wake him up.
Yeah.
Look at what he told those people about the fire he had in the kitchen 15 years ago. He almost lost his wife and his Corvette.
And his cat. Oh. And his cat.
Listen to this, by the way. Speaking of that, President Biden, when he was talking about this, was blasted by several Hawaiians for his comments. One resident labeled some of his language as tone deaf. Another writing it off as off the visit as a multi-million-dollar photo op. And I think they might have been right about that.
Well, you know what bothers me the most about Hawaii, Paul?
What?
It's a Democrat state.
Yeah, but I'm thinking the way he handled things, it might go Republican next year.
That's what I'm saying. But they voted for this stuff, Paul.
I know.
I was going to say, I hate to say it, but you voted for him.
Yeah, well, no, you're right. You're right.
I mean, you ask for it, you got it.
I mean, this guy, Biden, couldn't be worse. He is the most destructive president in my lifetime. I don't think anybody has been as bad for our country as this man. And I don't see how anybody can vote for him that has half a brain cell
operating. Do you really think he's doing this? I don't think he's doing this.
Well,
Obama.
I think he's just following orders.
A lot of people think Obama's behind all of it.
I think he's just following orders.
Now, but the only thing is, wasn't Obama supposedly born in Hawaii? You would think he wanted those people taken care of.
You would think so.
No, no. Hey, Obama's got property in Hawaii.
Yes,
he does. In fact, you remember the old...
But he was also born there.
The old Magnum P.I. show?
Yeah.
He bought that property.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was nice.
They should have brought Obama. Somebody said that they should have had, if they had thought about it, Biden should have asked Obama to accompany him.
Yeah.
Of course, he would outshine Biden, and maybe they didn't want that to occur either.
If these people in Hawaii vote Democrat this time, Paul, everything they get, they deserve.
Hey, I want to bring this up while you're on the line. Biden, you know, has been on this extended vacation, and he went back into vacation mode. He's now in Lake Tahoe, Nevada, at a mansion. He's going to spend 9 days there. He's got his extended family with him. Did you know that?
No.
They're renting an $18 million house from an environmental activist and a former Democratic presidential candidate by the name of Tom Steyer. He's being joined by his wife, their daughter Ashley, Hunter's wife, their son, Bo, which would be, I guess, Bo Jr., and a bunch of grandkids. Now, here's the deal. Don't you think they're talking about how they're going to front themselves now with these possible bribery charges against Joe Biden?
Well, that's one possibility. The other possibility is maybe to bring in hospice and to take care of them there.
they may have a nurse in attendance on him. I would understand. They won't allow any. They don't keep records of who shows up to visit them. That would be interesting to see during the 9 days. says it's unclear whether they'll have any visitors. I would assume that they will. But they don't keep records. No visitor
Well,
laws,
I hope Hunter finds a better place to stash his cocaine this time.
Yeah. Well, he'll be able to wander around, you know, on the property and probably smoke it to his heart's content.
Well, like I tell everybody, the truth keeps coming out more and more. You know, this whole thing about the Hunter investigation, it's no longer about Hunter. This is now about Joe Biden. And it's the Democrats that are going to try and get rid of him. They're gonna make it all happen.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree. I maintain that I don't think he's going to make it to become the candidate again.
No.
One way or the other, he's not going to be the candidate. That's my opinion.
Mm-mm.
I can't believe they still let him drive that Corvette.
Well,
yeah, that's
got to be an old photo.
He's going to run over a neighbor. You know that eventually.
look what happened on the bicycle.
Yeah, he's going to run over a Secret Service agent or a neighbor or, you know, a dog or something.
That's right.
Sure, there wasn't an old photo of him in the car.
That could have been.
Well, it probably was.
Yeah.
Or it was a Biden dummy. They just put it in there and make it look like he was driving it.
Well, they never gave him the keys. One of the
Maybe it had training wheels
tonight,
on it.
Tonight we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
We'll see. It could be an exciting evening.
Yes, I think it might be.
It'd still be worth watching, even though Trump's not going to be there.
I'm going to watch it.
Because I want to see how they act. I really do.
Absolutely. I want to see how DeSantis performs.
That's right. I say you'll see when they start coming after him, you start seeing him getting red in the eyes.
He might. It'll be very, very interesting to see this. I'm looking forward to it. Hey, thanks so much, Andrew. It's always a pleasure. Yeah. Glad to hear you're feeling better.
All right, guys. You guys have a good day.
Yeah, see you tomorrow. Talk. See you tomorrow.
All right. Oh, there 1:30, you go. 1:30. Another visitor to your barbershop.
You got it.
Okay.
Hey, thanks.
We'll put you down.
Got it.
Thanks, buddy. Please. Okay, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, among other things, a librarian shuts down an event after a speaker refers to a transgender athlete as a male. What's up with that?
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Back. Yeah, for the final segment of Freedom Works on a Wednesday. We thank you so very much for joining us. Glad you could be with us. However, if you're not able to catch us, and we are on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tantalk Radio Network, thanks to Big Ed, you can go to our website and you can listen to any of our shows at your leisure. Just go to OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. And look up at the top. You'll see podcast up there at the center
top. Click on it. Ed's got all our shows, most recent show at the top. He also puts the guest on there and what the guest is going to talk about. He also puts our top 10 list up there, bless him. OurFreedomWorks.com. So this happened Sunday, Ed. A librarian at a California public library imposed himself into a discussion that was going on, a speech was going on. He shut down an event when one of the speakers referred to a transgender athlete competing in women's sports as a male. Sophia Laurie, she's a former NCAA athlete, was speaking at the event, and she said, current 10-year-old girls cannot live out the same dream as long as men are allowed to compete in women's sports. Well, they were videotaping the event, and a video of the interaction showed the librarian interrupting her to let her know that she was, quote, misgendering. Misgendering by calling the guy a man.
Wow.
And by, quote, talking about men in women's sports. He shut down the speech. She had to leave. The girl said, Sophia said, I was cut off and told by the librarian I would be removed. So then I continued talking, saying, biological girls and biological men, to finish sharing my story. The librarian then told me to leave, and if I won't leave, he will shut the entire meeting
once
down.
Again,
what an idiot.
Once again, that's the group of people that don't allow you to have an opinion.
Yeah, well, they're shutting down
Period.
Free speech. In a library, they're shutting down free, of all places to shut down free speech. Can you see? Can you see the irony in that?
We're leading into the big topic. I think one of the topics tonight is going to be about teaching kids about gender anywhere from the first to the fifth grade, which I think is ridiculous having to go through all that. What can you remember in school? What year they taught you sex education?
That's a good question.
Because that was a big topic back then.
They took us to see. They took us to a museum to see pictures. They called it the Glass Lady. It was anyway. I'm going to tell you, it was seventh grade.
Was it seventh?
Seventh or eighth grade?
I was going to say eighth. Yeah,
it might have been eighth.
I was going to say
it's
eighth.
A long time
it was
for
definitely
me.
Before high school. Kind of got you ready for high school.
They exactly. Yeah. And I went to a Catholic school.
Yeah. Well,
so these were nuns that were taking us to see, I think they called it the Glass Lady, at the health museum we had in town. And it showed all the organs of a woman.
And I don't want to call it teach kids about gender change, but make them aware of it. In case they would be confused or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And don't tell me that this needs to start now because all of it's not a new thing. It happened before. We just didn't have to celebrate it. You know, people were gay 20 years ago, but we didn't have to all celebrate it for a month. We didn't have to celebrate it for a month.
Correct. We got along without making a big deal out of it.
Right. So I think now, in these days here, if they want to teach that, I'm okay with that right around the sex education time, if they really want to.
Yeah.
I mean, because you don't want kids, you know.
Right.
To
seventh or eighth grade where you're like 13 years old.
Sure. Right about there. That's what I'm saying.
You're ready, and you've got your hormones going at that point, and so you're more willing to listen to that stuff.
And kids can actually understand that because then they can go home to their parents and say, listen, today in school we talked about this, and I don't know what the hell she was talking about, for crying out loud. What happened? What's with this?
Yeah.
What do you mean, Johnny can be Sally? You know, I don't know.
Exactly. It's just common sense as to when you start bringing these things up.
Can't say
up.
That. Common sense
and
isn't common anymore.
And we lost common sense.
No.
Okay, before we get to our top 10, Ed, we have a good one, by the way. What's going on in the world of sports? Anything?
Rays are doing fairly well again. Last night, they squeaked out a win 14-2, I think it was.
Oh, wow.
Against,
14-2?
I think it was 14-4.
Oh, my goodness.
Maybe it was, it was 14-4 last night.
Are they still in second place?
Scored 9 runs in the 8th inning.
Oh, my goodness. Are they still in second place to Baltimore?
Yeah.
Okay. What did the Buccaneers do in their last exhibition game?
They actually won that.
Okay.
And Baker Mayfield has been has been anointed the starting quarterback.
Baker Mayfield. Yeah. Oh, okay.
For day one.
Oh, wow. Okay, so we'll keep our eye on Baker Mayfield. All right, time for our top 10, Ed. And this comes from the Kiplinger Report, Kiplinger.com. It is the top 10 most expensive U.S. housing markets. And these days, there's been some changes. Mm-hmm. So I thought I would use it as a top 10. So here we go. Top 10 most expensive U.S. housing markets. Number 10. Lake Havasu City, Arizona. They got about 56,000 people living there. The median income is about $60,000. That's median family income. And the average home price is $1.4 million. That's a lot of money. Number nine, Bethesda, Maryland. They got about 68,000 population. The average income there is $167,000. Wow, that's a lot of government jobs. Mm. That's where your taxpayer money is going. The average sale price of a home is $1.06 million. Number seven. Would you believe Los Angeles is in the top 10?
Sure.
They got close to 4 million people. They got 3.8 million people living in L.A. The average median income, $70,000. The average house price, $1.1 million. Number six, Washington, D.C. Indeed. The average, they've got 670,000 people living there. The average salary is $90,000, not bad. And the average home price, $1.16 million. Number five, Orange County, California. There's over 3 million people living in Orange County. Wow, I didn't realize that many. The average median family income is $101,000.
Wow.
That's a wealthy area, isn't it? And the average sale, the average home price is $1.25 million. Number four. And this one shocked me. Brooklyn, New York. Would you believe Brooklyn? And they got 2.64 million people there. Average income is only $68,000, but the average home price, $1.4 million.
Yeah, land is not cheap there.
No, it's not. Number three. Well, San Francisco, although everybody seems to be pulling out of there, they got about 800,000 people living there. The average median family income, $122,000. They need it because the average home price, $1.5 million.
Hmm.
Number two. Well, this may change, but Honolulu, Hawaii is number two.
Well, Honolulu's a different island.
Yeah,
than
that's
what's going
true.
On,
it's so. Not Maui, yeah, or whatever. 346,000 people on that particular island. Average income, $73,000. Average sale price, $1.6 million. All right, Ed, do you want to take a guess at what?
Let's go back out to California, maybe.
I thought you'd get this one. No, it's the other side of the...
Florida?
Go north.
North Carolina.
Further north.
New York.
Yes.
Right.
It's Manhattan. Manhattan.
Okay.
All right. They got 1.6 million people living there. The average income is only $84,000 in Manhattan. I thought it would be higher. But the average, listen to this, the average home price, $2.4 million.
You know, I thought like Beverly Hills would be in there somewhere, you know?
I don't know why it's not. That's a very good point.
Have you ever had the pleasure of driving through Beverly Hills?
Yes.
Years ago.
There's
not a blade of grass.
No. All I remember are these tall hedges that would line all of the house, so you couldn't see the house.
Yeah. Well, a lot of them want the privacy.
And those hedges go right out to the easement almost. Yep,
and they all want the privacy. That's why.
Yeah, they want their privacy, yeah. All right, thanks for listening. We'll be back on Friday. Remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com. I'm Steve Kathan. He's one of the key Trump co-defendants in Georgia, Rudy Giuliani.
I'm going to Fulton County to comply with the law, which I always do. I don't know if I plead today, but if I do, I plead not guilty.
Others also surrendering. Six have so far in the last 2 days. CBS's Nicole Killian on what's ahead for the former president.
We expect that he will surrender late in the day, Thursday, possibly Thursday evening. The former president will be fingerprinted, potentially get him.